All right, on the line here with Ryan Newman, NASCAR veteran, driver of the number 31 Chevrolet for Richard Childress Racing, and it's already in his third season at Richard Childress Racing in car number 31, and we're at Daytona International Speedway this weekend. So, before we talk a little bit about Coke and the Coke 0400, Ryan, how does that 31? I guess you just practiced it this morning. How does your Chevrolet look this morning on the banks of Daytona? Yeah, that's always a tricky thing trying to navigate the weather there. You're safely in the field right now, but do you have any response or any feelings about how NASCAR changed the procedure a little bit for some of those open teams right there? Before, it was always a question mark about the 21 team, the open team of Blaney. They announced this week that pretty much those teams that are up in the owner's points are guaranteed in the race. Do you have any feelings about that since you brought up the rain in qualifying? Right, exactly. So, but if you're trying to make the field in a one-off deal, it does get a little bit harder. So, Coca-Cola, obviously a big sponsor this week, and you're a Coca-Cola Racing driver over there. And I saw through some of the social media that your team has been sharing there at RCRPR31 on Twitter about the Share a Coke songs they're doing on the back. So they used to have the names on the Coca-Cola cans and bottles, but now they have the songs. Do you have a favorite song they put on there yet, or have you found yours yet? You've been a Coca-Cola driver for a long time, several years. How do you know? I'm sure y'all get free Cokes all the time. Besides at the racetrack, what do they give you a card? Can you walk in the grocery store and just pick up a 12-pack of Coke, or do they just send a bunch over to your house there and keep you stocked up for a long time? How does that work? How do you receive the perks of being with a sponsor like that? Oh, that's awesome. Okay, glass bottles, too. That sounds great. All right. Okay. I was like saying, man, that's pretty awesome. You can put it in glass bottles. It always tastes the best when they're chilled down and nice. I always love to have a Coke that way. Now, you've been this 31 team. This is already the third season. I can't believe that since you took over for Jeff Burton driving at Richard Childress Racing. And, you know, I see some things pop around in the silly season stuff that 2017, got hard to believe that's a number, is a question mark. Do you know what your plans are for 2017? Are you continuing on to the 31? Or do you know your plans yet and can't announce them? Or kind of where do you stand for next season? Hey, there you go. Yeah, I'll send you my number. Okay, so I'm sure I'll be waiting with bated breath, okay? But I'm sure there'll be some big announcements coming up and other drivers, of course, looking to their plans as well. They're kind of surprised not to have those laid down. Now, looking over career, 17 career wins, and never really a thought late in the season in the championship, except in 2014. That was incredible how you were able to take that all the way to Homestead without a race win and really so under the radar. And even since then, in the 2015 and even this season, 2016, it seems like you're invisible most of the day. And then at the end, there you are in 8th, 10th, 11th place, something like that. Do you think being under the radar is an advantage for you, or does it matter at all? Or I know you want to be up there up front, but do you think kind of this under the radar, not having the pressure on you, not having the Dale Jr. or Kyle Busch pressure helps you out?
Well, it depends on the settings of your radar, right? If you're looking long-term or short-term, then you're right. They can easily show up long-term, but it really doesn't matter to me. I go out there and do the best job I possibly can for myself, so I can sleep at night. From my sponsors and my team and everybody else as well, and what happens. If those other guys fall apart, then they make me look good. If we perform better at the end of the race, then good, because we should. So do the best job I possibly can, and have fun doing it.
It seems like the pressure on NASCAR, I guess I would say, has risen so much over the last few restrictor plate races. There always seems to be an outrage after everyone now, where it seems like half the drivers or a bunch of drivers and a bunch of media members and fans get on the record as, saying something needs to change, this can't go on any longer. And I know you've been in some nasty wrecks before. I've attended some of those races where you've been in some bad wrecks. Do you know, or do you have any idea as a driver who's with these cars, who has an engineering degree, what could be done to make restrictor plate racing more enjoyable for drivers and more safe?
Safer is easy. You just slow the cars down so they don't get airborne. That's a no-brainer, but then you have to control the product and the quality at the same time, which I don't think is impossible. I think if you look back at the history of our sport, the cars ran 185 for a really long time, and now they're running 195 to 200. So just slowing the cars down 10 miles an hour would be a big step in the right direction from a safety standpoint. But you have to do it correctly, is my point. And outside of that, it's a different style of racing. You're typically wide open. You're at the mercy of somebody else making a mistake because you're packed up in a crash or potentially in a crash, and you just kind of have to go with the flow, put yourself in the right situation at the right time, which is way easier said than done.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's really been harrowing to see how many of these cars are getting airborne. Do you know what things NASCAR is trying to work on besides slowing the cars down? Doesn't seem like that's been much of an option lately to try to keep the cars on the ground. Have they made any subtle changes to the package this weekend, or do you have the same deal as Talladega a couple months ago?
Everything is exactly as it was at Talladega, which is exactly how it was at Daytona for the 500.
Okay, yeah, so that's probably something definitely some fireworks to look forward to there, maybe not in the good way as well. Now, I always love reading when drivers kind of rate other drivers and talk about other drivers to get on a different subject. And whenever someone is asked, who's the hardest person to pass on the racetrack, or who and I don't mean in a disrespectful way, but gives you the least room or really makes you work for that pass, you're normally at the top of that list there. So how do you respond to that? And then who do you think is maybe some of the harder people, and I don't mean it a bad way, to race around?
Well, that just means I'm doing my job. That's what I'm supposed to be. You're easy to pass, and it's not really, not as competitive as you should be. So as a competitor, I understand the give and take, but I don't necessarily like to give, and especially at the end of the race. So I don't know. To answer your question, the second part of your question, I don't know. It all depends. Different racetracks are different people. It's like you got guys like Allmendinger that are really good at road courses, but he's not not the guy you have to beat, so to speak, when you go to a place like Atlanta or Texas. So it just all depends.
Yeah, well, it definitely does for that. What's your favorite kind of track? It seems like you do well on the bigger tracks, but a lot of drivers and fans alike prefer shorter tracks, and then there's road courses mixed in there. What are maybe just a couple or three or four or whatever, however many of your favorite tracks or your favorite type of track?
My favorite track is Darlington. I really enjoy Atlanta, Dover, Charlotte, places like that. I've got really good stats. My best racetrack statistically is Loudon.
Okay, that's interesting to say. And then here's one, too. I was just looking at the Cup standings, and it's interesting to see your average finish is a little couple positions down from what it has been the last couple of years, and particularly 2014 when you really rose to the occasion in the chase there. But even though y'all have different amounts of points, you, Denny Hamlin, and Dale Jr., who are 11th, 12th, and 13th in points, and not in that particular order, all have the exact same average position. How much do you pay attention to stats besides the point standings at all? Is that something that's fun at all as a driver to pay attention to, or do you just completely ignore it and strap in, or is there a whole set of stats that we don't even know about as fans of media that you look at in the garage?
I mean, we pay attention to stats. You kind of have to use the history to, you know, guide yourself in the future. But there are too many stats out there, so you can't get lost in it. So from my standpoint, I pay attention to the points and monitor where I'm at during the race a little bit. But at the end of the race especially, and you go on, you can't really change it. You just have to understand the position you're in and you race accordingly.
Yeah, well, certainly. Okay, and one more for you here. When you're out there at a place like Daytona, where is maybe the trickiest place on the racetrack? I've heard drivers saying, we've seen it manifest itself in the 500, that coming off of turn four into the trioval where the banking flattens out, you get squirrely and loose, and we saw Dale Jr., Chase Elliott, and Kevin Harvick in the Daytona 500 spin out. So do you have places that you're particularly worried about on the racetrack, or do you see a different area besides that area coming off of four that's tougher for drivers to maneuver? And has it been windy out there this weekend, or can you not get much of a judge of it?
It's not too bad right now, but you never know. I mean, you get a storm cell running through right before it gets real windy, you never know. So,
yeah, it's definitely very volatile. Ryan, I know you got some more stuff coming up here, and, of course, a busy day and busy weekend, so we'll let you get to it. But thanks for joining us right here to talk about this year and potentially next. Got it. Ryan Newman, driver of the car number 31, the Florida Lottery Chevrolet this weekend.